Hello, and welcome to Tribal Council, a show in which two brothers, who had never seen Survivor before, started from the very beginning and also cover the new era. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Chris, and this week we're going to talk about Season 46, Episode 3, Wackadoodles Win. I've got some stats. Oh, go ahead. Oh. No, you go.
Before that, Chris, we have done our listeners a great disservice. We are very behind in updating our season rankings.
Yeah.
And we talked about doing it before we started season 46. And we didn't do that. But we have four seasons that we've watched that we have not plugged into our rankings. And so I feel like it should not wait until after season 46.
That's fair.
Because We still have not ranked Gabon, 45, Tocantins, or Samoa. And I brought this up as a problem without considering I'm not sure where to rank these guys.
All right. So, Gabon.
Should we do it individually? Just like, okay, where does Gabon go? Where does 45 go?
Yeah. Well, how else would we do it?
I don't know. Don't ask me these questions.
All right. Now, well, so I have to remember what these were. So Gabon is Bob.
Oh, but Bob was not. It was Sugar. And like.
Well, no, Bob won.
Yeah, but like he wasn't the main character of that season.
I liked Bob, though.
I liked Bob, too. Sugar and Randy and Crystal and Kenny, Corinne, Maddie. Maddie was a big part of Gabon.
Yeah. It had that classic meme that I was waiting for. And when I saw, I was like, oh, I know that meme. All right. So Gabon. Gabon was fun. I mean, all three of these were pretty fun seasons, I think. Gabon, of the not counting 45, just talking old seasons. Gabon is my least favorite of these three, I think.
Oh, really?
Between
I think Samoa is my least favorite of the three.
Oh,
I think we're going to put Gabon in very different spots, and I'm not sure how to reconcile it. I think I know where I would put Gabon.
And there's been some good seasons of Survivor, huh?
There have been. Actually, looking back at our list, I'm like, I think that our list is wrong. But that's fine.
All right. So we have ranking of other seasons from 1 to 20. So we should just do like 1, 2, 3, and then say the number we think it should go at. And then maybe we'll just like average those or something. Or talk it out.
Yeah, I feel like we only need to talk it out, but that's fine. Okay.
Hold on. Okay. What was that?
Huh.
Hold on. Really? Okay. It's better than that season. Yeah, I don't know if I agree with all of this. All right, I'm ready again. Okay.
3, 2, 1, 8.
12. See, I'm like, I liked it. Like, I looked up, I was confused. I couldn't remember China. And so I looked up China and I was like, I definitely liked it better than China. But not better than All Stars. But then I think I like I think we ranked the new era seasons too high.
I think so too. I also think, interestingly, I was looking at this and I was like, I think China's too low. I think I like China more than I liked All Stars.
I don't know.
So in thinking of like strategically, Gabon is kind of a mess. Like, no one really knew what was going on a lot of the time, except for Sugar. But Sugar got like had a bad social game, I think.
Well, and like half the season, she was just exiled.
That's true. But it had the like the wild ass auction that was very fun. It had the like going and chasing the elephants. It has the Bob, the oldest guy, like dominating the challenges. That's very fun. I think that like Maddie being strategic but not being able to like ring people in to do shit is very fun. I feel like I could rewatch Gabon and have a lot of fun with it. That's why I'm going a little high on it.
Yeah, the rewatchability, I think I find it less rewatchable because of the amount of villainness in it. Like the unlikability of Randy. Is that his name?
That's fair. Yeah, it was Randy.
I feel like we should actually, what we should do is have, we should pull all the new era stuff out and have a separate listing. Like old era rankings, new era rankings. Because it's a different era. Like, how do you compare?
It is. Well, and I mean, I think a lot of people compare, and like also the comparison doesn't really mean anything anyway, but it is, I do have a harder time making that comparison in large part because we're binging the old stuff and we're watching the new stuff week to week. And so like, I think I tend to like the new era more than maybe the average Survivor fan because I like watching Survivor week.
Yeah. I think I agree that I'm fine with putting the 8.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Season was Gabone?
17. But you just put it in 9th and not 8th.
Oh.
But I would put it above 42, I think. I'm cool with it being 9th if that's what you want.
Nope, that's fine. Let's say 45. Token Sheens.
Okay. I think we both said Token Sheens we would put above Gabone and Samoa, right?
I like, yeah, of those three, like I like Token Sheens a lot. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I gotta check on one real quick before we vote. Okay. And this is hard. I can't remember all this stuff. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. I think I'm gonna say something that surprises even myself. Okay. 3, 2, 1.
7.
2.
I was looking higher, but then I was looking up the list of, I was like, what was Panama? I forget. And then I looked up the list and I was like, no, I think I like that more. And I did the same thing with Cook Islands.
It is hard because I'm like, I think we have Amazon, do I? Because I'm like, I really liked Panama. I really liked Cook Islands. I really like Vanuatu. I really like Pearl Islands. And Token Sheens is definitely like in that crew for me. And I was like, I think I like it more than Vanuatu. I don't know if I like it more than Panama, but I have Vanuatu above Panama, so I don't know what to do with that. So I was very much like anywhere from 2 to 7, I could see it going. And so you said 7. I'm sure.
Well, let's just split the difference then. 4.5.
Okay.
So yeah, let me get rid of all of that.
So listeners, we're putting it in at 5.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. 12.
9.
I thought about saying 9.
Or I guess I meant 10. I was thinking right after Gabon.
I'm comfortable with that. Let's do 10.
It's just 10.
That was season 19.
All right, season 45.
So here's my issue with ranking 45. Just thinking of New Era, when we were watching 45, I was like, I think this is my favorite season of Survivor, maybe ever, is what I said when I was watching. I think that the storyline, as it wrapped up, was maybe less good. And so like, I don't love the like overall arc of the season as much as I did as I was watching it. But the 90 minute episodes made me like it so much more. So it like is almost in a different category because of the 90 minute episodes in my head.
Yeah, I agree. Like I liked it a lot when we were watching it, but now I'm looking at like the list and I just am looking at like all the sloppy gameplay that we saw from like Jake and Keturah. I can't remember if Julie was a sloppy.
No, Julie was one of the four.
Yeah.
She wasn't. Austin was sloppy in that crew. But
Think I liked it more. I think in hindsight, I don't think I liked it more than the Tika 3, like season 44.
I think I agree with that.
Like Franny, the love story, and the Tika 3. Like there's a lot to love in that season.
But I mean, 44 or 45 also has like Emily, and it had like, I think that I loved Jake more than you loved Jake, but like I loved love in that season too. Mm-hmm. I feel like in our overall rankings, I would put it either right above or right below 44. Like it feels like it is very similar to 44 in my head.
If okay, that's fine with me, but then I would put it after.
I'm fine with that.
All right, listeners. So we have watched 24 full seasons of Survivor. 46 that we're covering right now is our 25th season. Of those 24 seasons, quick ranking. I'm going to read through this very fast. Micronesia, Vanuatu, Pearl Islands, Amazon, Token Sheens, Panama, Cook Islands, 44, 45, Gabon, Samoa, 42, Marquesas, 43, All-Stars, China, Australia, 41, Africa, Fiji, Palau, Guatemala, Borneo, Thailand.
Yeah. I think it is interesting that we just placed in 4 seasons and
they were high.
3 of them were back to back, 45 Gabon and Samoa.
I mean, this is a good run from what I've heard is like after we have like a couple more good ones and then we have like a whole string of bad ones or something
in
like
the 20s. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Cool. Good. We've had that on our to-do list for a while. Done. Check. before we talk about this episode, although actually what I'm about to say is about this episode, there's a site I've been checking that does like episode stats. It's insidesurvivor.com. And they're just like, so, I talked about these maybe last week or the week before. There's such specific stats for some stuff that some of them are funny, but I wanted to pick some out from this episode. One is that Banu had the most confessionals of any player in Survivor history in the third episode of a season.
That is very specific.
Another fun one, in all three even-numbered seasons of the new era, a man was medevaced from an orange tribe.
Wow.
So 42 had Jackson. From Taku, and 44 had Matthew, who was like, it's listed as medevac / quit from Ratu, and then
yeah,
Brandon.
Yeah, I was like, no, Tico was purple, but I forgot about Matthew. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Randon is the 23rd person to be eliminated from a medevac or quit due to medical reasons. And I include that because 23rd. So out of the 23 people who have been like medevac for medical reasons or quit, 9 of them are from orange tribes. Orange starting tribes.
Wow.
So I know you've got your whole like M theory, M name. So you got to start thinking about orange.
That also is like, it happens roughly every other season. That's wild on average.
People, yeah. Every season that has an orange tribe and a medevac, the medevac is happening from the orange tribe except for one, which is Fiji. We've seen it happen in the new era seasons and Panama. And then it happens in some others that we haven't got to yet.
I mean, like, yes. Bruce was medevac from 44 also, not from the orange tribe. But there was also a medevac from the orange tribe.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Those are the stats. That's it. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's dive into this episode.
Yeah. Not a good episode of Survivor, in my opinion, but...
I was so disappointed to not, like, actually don't know. I mean, well, I guess talk about it. I don't know whether it was going to be Banu that was going to be eventually leaving or not, if that tribal happened. But boy, am I ready for Banu to go. I'm done with that guy.
Yeah, me too. Which is why I feel like if people liked this episode or not was very reliant on if they're over Banu or not. And I'm over Banu. Yeah. I was like so excited for Nami or Siga to go to Tribal Council and then didn't happen again. And so I'm just like, none of this matters. I don't care.
Yeah, we start with Yanu the night after the previous Tribal where Jess was eliminated and played her fake idol that Q had given her. Banu feels naive. He asks where the idol came from. So they explain it to him and say that they didn't tell him because they didn't want him to like blurt it out. And also tell him how, like, remind him how troublesome his openness is, because if that idol had been real, he would be gone. And so he feels dumb, feels naive. He knows he could be next. This whole episode, he is pretty much like thinks or knows he's going to be next.
Yes. He also thought that last episode and he was wrong.
Yeah. He did his sad bag on the shoulder move and then felt like a fool, which he said, I'm a fool, which is important because later in this episode, he tells people that his tribe called him a fool. And I was like, no, you called you that. You did that.
Well, yes. And to be fair, it could have happened off camera.
Yeah.
But I feel like they would have shown that.
Yeah.
And also, he could have been actively lying to gain extra sympathy.
That is true. He is capable of lying. He did lie in this episode, which I didn't know if he was capable of or not.
He can't lie to Jeff.
Yeah.
Or to Q.
Yeah. That is true. He did the lie and I was like, oh, good for you. And then he immediately fessed up to Q and I was like, Banu, come on, man.
Yeah.
So we go to day 6. Yanu doesn't really have a solid shelter. It shows them sleeping on the ground in the dirt under a rock overhang. I did note that Banu has a solid sweater. I kind of want it. It was a thick quarter zip, like reddish pink color. It was cool. I like it. Banu's out idol hunting. He's desperate for help. He goes to Kenzie and she's like, okay, like what are your plans? What do you got for me? And he doesn't have anything to say. And is like, because of that, he describes Kenzie as a mermaid dragon, how she's like sweet and kind, but actually not really. Which I thought she had a good point. Like, listen, if you want help from me, like what's your plan? You got ideas? And he had nothing. He's just like, I need help.
Yeah.
Q tells Banu he wants to keep him around because he's loyal. He says, "You're my Philip to Boston Rob," which we don't know about.
Means nothing
yet.
To us.
But from what I've read online, it's not a great thing to be, because it's like, you're going to be my second place, which Banu's probably reading it more of like, ooh, I could get to second place.
Yeah, it also was very much like, he says to his face, "You're a liability, but you want to keep a liability around rather than a threat." And I was like, I was impressed that Q knew his audience, because like, Banu did not care that he was being, from my understanding, insulted straight to his face.
Right.
But like, Banu heard, "You want to work with me," and that's all he needed to hear.
Yeah, Q's been good at managing Banu in these first few episodes.
Yes.
Banu says, "I'm a wackadoodle," which we discussed last week. We didn't know if he would know that term or not. He did. Uh-huh. And Q says, "Wackadoodles win."
That's the name of the episode.
They didn't win, but then they kind of did, I guess, depending on how you view what a win is.
We guessed Banu and Kenzie for that episode title. It's like so close. So close. I wouldn't have said
Q.
I never would have guessed Q for that.
It was really just like the setup. Banu alley-ooped it to Q for the finish. Banu appreciates that talk, but then is immediately suspicious of it. Banu just like cannot be comfortable, which I guess is a good thing. Like in Survivor, you should never feel like completely comfortable. You should always be like thinking about everything, but Banu's just more, rather than like thinking strategy-wise, he's just worries.
Well, and I very much was like, sure, maybe this is not legit. Maybe wait until you're going to tribal to like freak out about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe just build in those relationships and then worry about who's lying to you when it matters if they're lying to you.
Yep. We go to Siga. Such little has happened on Siga. They show us stuff from 4 days ago.
Yes. Uh-huh. Where no, okay.
Idol hunting as a tribe.
I have a theory on this that I have not seen online. Granted, I have not looked a ton online after this episode yet. But a lot of people are like, man, Siga is so boring. They have to show stuff from 4 days ago. I think that this would have happened the same day that like Tiffany found her idol. Mm-hmm. And I think that they didn't want to show both of those in one episode.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably what it is.
Because like, it wasn't relevant yet. So they were just like, we'll delay that a little bit in the edit because it doesn't really matter anyway.
Right.
Yet. And then we get something fresh for this episode.
Yeah. I think that is likely the case. So they show them Siga idol hunting as a tribe. Jem finds the beware advantage and stuffs it in her pants so nobody sees it. And then goes back at night to dig up the next part of the clue. So she's got the same like half of a advantage or whatever that Randon has currently.
And that Tiffany had that she had upgraded.
Right. On Nami, Hunter is making a real badass bed. Very impressive bed.
Yeah. It makes a bed sound.
It does make a bed sound. We haven't seen all the seasons of Survivor, but Tyson on his podcast said that it looks like the best bed he's ever seen on Survivor.
Wow.
Others are talking about how Hunter is safe because they need his strength for challenges. We get some Hunter backstory, find out he has a house full of puzzles from Survivor that he uses for like challenges for like kids and stuff.
Like full, like it looks like an episode of Hoarders.
Mm-hmm. And Venus says to Randon that Tevin and Hunter are running this game, which Randon doesn't really see. We get some...
And Randon is like, what do you mean? And Venus is like, I mean, I just see it. It's like, what evidence do you have? And she's like, my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
How do you not see this? I'm like, you're not good at strategizing here, Venus. You gotta be persuasive.
We go the next day, day 7, Randon has no feeling in his right arm, prickly feeling in his leg and arm. He can't grip anything with his hand. Medical looks at it. He says he may have a trapped nerve, so they'll keep an eye on it. We go to the challenge, which is the immunity and reward challenge for this week, where they have to do this like water obstacle course sort of thing to the beach, dig up sandbags, and then toss them up onto platforms. This has been done a few times, apparently. We have not seen... It's called the Blue Lagoon Bustle and happens in Blood vs. Water, which we're getting to soon, and then Game Changers and Winners at War, which will be quite a while. The climbing over the barrel in the water seems like the hardest part of this entire challenge.
Yes, that was very difficult. Can we highlight Hunter and Tevin? Because it was genius. Did you catch what they did?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everyone was kind of struggling to get like the last person over. Like the first person and the last person were the hardest by far. And Hunter like lifted Tevin up out of the water basically to get him over, and then was like, okay, I'm gonna hold on, and just like hung on, gone most of the way over, and then hung on to his ankles and like used his momentum to just drag himself over.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is genius.
Created like a human chain.
Yeah, it was brilliant. And I was this right before this challenge, Hunter had a confessional that said, like, people are just viewing me as like this guy who's trying to be provider, this like guy who's just trying to be friendly and not actually very smart or strategic. And that's exactly where I want them. Like, I am very strategic and I need them to not know that I'm smart because that'll raise my threat level.
Yeah.
And then he did this challenge and I was like, bro, you're showing that you're way too good at challenges. Like, you're doing way too well.
Yeah. But I think what he's saying is he doesn't want them to think he's a strategizer. And so like,
yes, I agree. But I was like, but if your goal is to lower your threat level, you need to lower your threat level more.
Yeah, that's true. But like when we get to the immunity challenge side of things, it's a lot less physical and more like puzzle side. And so his strength will be maybe less of a threat. Although I feel like they still like players all the time think about strength, but like when you get to the individual part, it's so much less strength based stuff.
Yeah, it's things like throwing beanbags onto pools.
That's true. Which he did. That really is where well I'm like, that.
Nami, I thought was going to lose the challenge, and I was very excited because they were like very behind.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got to the throwing sandbags on top of pools, and Hunter just like one after another knocked him out before anyone else had a second one, I think. And I was like, Hunter, like at least make it look like you're struggling.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, because Nami was last, or like they were behind at one
they were
point
last.
Yeah that's right, because Jeff often calls that out of like they're dead last, they haven't been here before, but then they came back, and so Nami won again. All three immunity challenges we've seen, Nami got first, Siga got second, and Yanu got third so far this season. So Nami and Siga win a toolkit and tarp, and Yanu is headed for tribal council, but Nami gets to pick three people for a journey, one from each tribe. And so they send Liz, Ben, and Banu on a journey. Yeah, we get a little bit of time with Yanu before the journey. Of the people remaining at camp, they're worried that Kenzie Q and Tiffany are worried that Banu's just going to spill all of their tribal info to other people. Like, he's the worst person that could have gone on this. Q tries to take the blame for the loss because of him not doing super well with a bag toss. He's really beating himself up and even tells Kenzie and Tiffany that he'd rather be voted out than Banu because he didn't come in clutch in the challenge. And Tiffany's like, I'm not going to vote for you. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, so this I thought was weird from Q. I saw a tweet from Q that said, where someone was like, hey, bro, like, don't give up. What are you doing? And he was like, oh, I was testing them to see if they would ever vote against me.
Oh, I don't buy that.
Yeah, I don't particularly buy that either. If that's accurate, I could see, like, the rest of this episode involves Q kind of trying to decide if he's going to go with Kenzie and Tiffany and just vote Banu out, or if he's going to try to save Banu in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see if they were like, if either Tiffany or Kenzie were like, oh man, like, we would hate to do that, but if you really think so, then like, yeah, sure. I could see him being like, okay, yes, I'm definitely working with Banu. He's loyal. They're not.
Right.
So like, I'm not sure if I buy it, but I do kind of like it as a strategy if that's what he was doing, or if.
The way it was presented, just, I don't think he would have kept those feelings all the way up until tribal, but it just felt like somebody who's been an athlete before who did bad in the big game and was just not feeling great about it. But I think it would have.
Yeah. Passed. Is this really in his feels? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the reactions though, like Tiffany, like you said, was like, no, what are you talking about? I'm never voting you out. We did not see that from Kenzie.
Right.
And then he did go on to be like, maybe I'll vote with Banu and try to get Kenzie out.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if Kenzie would have been reacted like Tiffany did, if he would have been like, okay, cool. Yeah. Let's just vote Banu out.
Yeah, maybe. He's already been thinking about like the Kenzie Banu thing though. Like last episode he was too.
Yeah, my point is that if Kenzie was like showed much more loyalty and support, if that would have like sealed that alliance
more. It may have. I think it would have. We would have still seen similar stuff because regardless, the show has to make it seem like it's between two people, and so they would have like asked him questions until he proposed both ideas, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Except turns out neither one of them went home.
Yeah.
So this was a weird episode.
Yeah. We go to the journey. Banu's very emotional and unloading all the information to Ben and Liz. Banu says he's not here for $1 million. He's here for 1 million hearts.
What the fuck does that mean?
Well, listen, he's got two already, okay? He's got Ben and he's got Liz. He does not have mine. Banu, you don't have my heart is what I'm saying.
I was just like, I don't know. You're here for $1 million. You're here for $1 million, Banu. That's why you're on the show.
Too many people on the show say they're not here for the money. Like, what the fuck? Who doesn't want $1 million?
Well, I mean,
if you're Liz, maybe who's buying and selling businesses. I could get a lot more than
$1 million in the black market if I had 1 million hearts, Chris.
That's true. I mean, Liz probably doesn't need it because she's got a lot of businesses and whatnot.
Speaking of which, I heard on Tyson's podcast this week that Brendan from Token Cheens was the owner or founder of Bare Naked Granola.
Oh yeah. Okay.
You know Bare Naked Granola? Ever heard of that?
Yeah. It comes from the ladies.
Comes from the ladies?
You know, Bare Naked Ladies.
Oh, yeah, sure. Apparently on Token Cheens, like everyone knew that he had recently sold his company for like a few $1 million. And so it was like kind of known of like, yeah, we're not letting Brendan win this.
Wow.
Yeah. Was never on the show, but I was like, oh, shit. I didn't know that.
Interesting. So this journey is different than the last one where they draw rocks. White rock gets nothing. Blue rocks get a chance to have something happen. Liz gets the white rock, so she gets nothing and goes back to her camp. Ben and Banu split up, and they each go to a challenge where they have to assemble blocks to form a cube. And if they're successful, they get an advantage, and if not, they lose a vote. They are both unsuccessful, so we don't know what actually their advantage would have been, right?
Right.
Do you think it just would have been an extra vote, or you think it would have been more than that?
I think it would have been different. They already have two extra votes out there. I think they would have done something.
They mostly showed Banu during this more than Ben, but he was not. So here's the deal with a puzzle like this. I was getting frustrated watching Banu try this. Is
yeah, I was like, I don't think this puzzle looks that hard.
Assembling a puzzle like this, you don't. So they're just trying to make a cube. You don't want nice, even, clean cut like layers partway through. Like it's gonna assemble with like jagged layers until the very end. And so he kept getting like, okay, I got that, and it's like 2/3 of a cube. And I'm like, no, you don't want that. You want it to be all jaggedy, and then for stuff to fit in. I was frustrated watching.
Yes, I was like, you're going about this all wrong. And I was like, maybe this is harder than it looks, but I really think that I've done puzzles exactly like this before. Also, they kind of did a puzzle like this in like episode one, I think.
Yeah, this one I think was different because the pieces didn't seem to be 3D kind of. Like they were like, they didn't seem to have like three dimensions at once. Like, I don't know if that's making sense what I'm saying. Like they seem to be more all just like different rectangular prisms.
Yes, yeah, I think you're right. There was not like they weren't like weird jagged pointy edges coming right out in different ways. Yeah, which I was like, so this seems extra easy then.
That's what I thought too. Yeah, so I mean it's easy to armchair this quarterback this and be like, yeah, we could definitely have done that, but I do think Bonnet was doing it poorly, but maybe that's just my dislike of Bonnet. Yeah, so he and Ben have both lost their votes. We get a little bit of time with Siga after this. They're building up their shelter with a tarp. We see Ben return. He says he has some gossip and tells them stuff that Banu had unloaded on them. Also lies about what it was. He says he might not have a vote or he might have an advantage. He doesn't know. He'll find out at Tribal Council.
I thought that was a great lie.
I thought it was, I thought it was interesting because like, whether you believe him or not fully, like you basically just have to assume he's going to have his vote. And so it helps him strategy wise.
Yes. I really liked that. It's like, and then if it comes out at Tribal based on how the vote is that I didn't have a vote, it's like, oh, well, yeah, sorry. I wasn't lying to you. I just didn't know. But assume that I do because I'm pretty sure I won it. So like, yeah, I thought that was a very good...
Especially...
strategy. Now, granted, I think that the best strategy from everyone else is vote out the guy that may or may not have a vote, and who cares about his vote if it's 5-1.
Yeah.
But he's going to have to deal with that anyway. So...
Yeah. Well, especially, like, any kind of lie, I bet he felt a little bit safer in, because the only way to really catch him in the lie is to talk to other people who were there, which is Banu, and he's probably assuming Banu's not long for this world. So he's like, as long as I outlast Banu, nobody's finding out this information.
Well, and even if Banu survives, he's like, here's what a mess Banu is.
Mm-hmm.
And so
his tracks are really
close to Banu anyway.
Yep. We see a little bit with Nami of just Liz returning and giving similar information, how nothing happened with her. And then on Yanu, we get some somber music as Banu returns all dejected. He says it's not like what Jelinski did. He tells them he drew the white warrock and didn't get anything. So this was his lie that I was like, wow, I can't believe. Like, I honestly was like, damn, I didn't think Banu had it in him to actually lie.
Yeah.
And then he immediately goes and tells the truth to Q, where Q floats the idea of blindsiding Kenzie. And Q talks to Kenzie about Banu's loyalty, or not Kenzie. He must have been talking to Tiffany about Banu's loyalty. And so she's thinking about it, but is skeptical of blindsiding Kenzie instead of going for Banu, which it's like, I see where Q's coming from. I think it is a difficult decision because Banu, I believe, will like be fully loyal to Q, but he's just a disaster with information. And so like, that's so dangerous.
Right. Where it's also interesting that he's trying to convince Tiffany of this, because I think Tiffany is like, here's the deal though. Banu's loyal to you. I think Kenzie's loyal to me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, like, if they were to go to tribal another time, Q and Banu would maybe vote Tiffany out, and Tiffany and Kenzie would maybe vote Q out.
Right.
And so...
Yeah, I think that's maybe true. I think
Tiffany... Actually, I think Q and Tiffany would probably stick together.
That's what I was just thinking. Because, like, when Q's making all these decisions, he's like, I need Tiffany on board. Like, Tiffany's his number one.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's her number one, but... I think so.
I think he is her number one too, but it is basically like they are fighting over their number twos.
Yeah.
Of like Q's number two is Banu and Tiffany's number two is Kenzie.
Right.
And so like to Q, I think it makes a lot of sense to cut Kenzie, but for Tiffany, that's not true.
Yeah.
Like Banu's not loyal to Tiffany. Banu's loyal to Kenzie. Or sorry, Banu's loyal to Q.
Right. Yeah, I agree with all of that. But then we cut to Nami, which is when we cut there, I'm like, oh, God damn it. Is what I was saying to myself. Randon says that he hated having to sit back and watch the challenge because he sat out because he doesn't have feeling in half his body. And then Jeff and medical show up to check on Randon. Dr. Will checked with a colleague. Their concern is that not just a trapped nerve, but a bulging disc in the neck, which could be a bigger issue and might require surgery. And the only really way to know is to get an MRI, and they don't have that available on the island, so he has to be medically evacuated to check that out. Which I noted that this is also really bad news for Venus, because she isn't allying with anybody other than kind of Randon, and not even that much Randon, I feel like.
Right, yes.
And
she knows that he has the Beware advantage.
Right. But, and so in his exit interview, he talked about that, where the Beware advantages are transferable, from what I understand, from what I've heard in interviews and stuff. But it has to happen before. Basically, if you're going to give something to anybody, it has to happen before you're told to go. So like before you're said, like you're getting pulled from the game or voted out or whatever. So it can't be Jeff saying we're pulling you. And then he's like, oh, Venus, here, take this. And in his exit interview, he talked about how, like, he was, when he saw them, like, coming up, he was like, I need to get to my bag. But there wasn't a good way to do that. And so, unless he lied, because I feel like we had an exit interview where somebody lied about something, or, like, maybe lied about mission.
Dwight was like, I didn't give Janine her idol back, but he had given it to Jesse, but didn't tell us that, because wasn't revealed in the episode yet.
Right. So as far as what it sounded like in his exit interview is he left with a Beware advantage. And so I would guess the show will just rehide it.
Yeah. Yes. I think that he left with his thing. I am like, would they hide it in the same place? Because Venus knows where that was.
I mean, I would guess no, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm interested to see how the show handles all of that. I also was like, Randon, you should have given it to Venus like before the challenge.
Yeah. Like when you wake up and you can't feel half your body, maybe pass it off to somebody.
And you are like, I am going to ask medical to come check this out, right, which is what he originally did. He should have given it to Venus before that.
Yeah. Yeah. So then we cut back to Yanu and see Banu is crying because he thinks this is it for him. He's going home. Tiffany tells him that she hasn't decided yet. And Jeff walks up on this conversation and says, hey, listen, no tribal. And they're all excited. And Jeff's like, remember, like, Randon is leaving, like his pain is your joy. I was watching, I was like you guys are cheering a lot for some guy who like possibly is going to have neck surgery from this. But Jeff did a reminder of like, listen, I know you're happy about this, but like remember why this is happening.
Yeah, which is like, I think that is hard because like they've never actually met Randon. And they have just been spending all day thinking about going to tribal and trying to figure out what to do.
So
like that release of pressure and that like relief must be overwhelming and really hard to consider this guy that they've never met, basically.
Yeah.
Going through a hard time. So like I saw some people like giving them a lot of shit online, and I was like, I mean, you're seeing their immediate emotional reaction. I think maybe we shouldn't be so hard on them. Like, yeah. For
this was their win,
feeling relief.
The wackadoodles win.
Yeah.
I on Tyson's podcast, I can't remember who the guest was. Kelly, a Kelly? Was it a Kelly? It was somebody from New Era season, I think.
Yeah, it was
not Kelly. Whoever it was, I got annoyed with because they were giving Randon shit and talking about it of like, even like asking for medical to look at him. They're like, I never would leave. And then later in the episode, they talked about if they lost the front tooth, they'd be out. They're like, oh, if I lost the tooth, I'm out. I don't want to be on camera without.
Oh, it was Lauren from.
Yes. Yeah. 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 She was like, I don't want to be on there without a tooth. And I was like, what are you talking about? This guy is like half paralyzed. And you're like, he should stay in the game. And you're like, oh, if I'm out down a tooth, I'm not playing. And I'm like, I was really annoyed with her because of that.
Yeah. I was very much like, I am glad that I'm glad that Randon's okay. I am also a little bit glad that it turns out that it was pretty serious and that it took him a while to be okay,
mm-hmm.
for the sake of like both his own mental health of like, if he had gotten pulled and then the next day was totally fine, I feel like that would be even more crushing.
Right.
And it makes the show's decision to pull him like make a lot of sense of like, yeah, they were right. This was bad.
Right. He
basically couldn't use half of his body, including an entire arm, for like days or weeks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he didn't end up needing surgery, but it did take a long time to just recover from the trapped nerve or whatever and the bulging discs.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a couple things. You might have to, I tried to keep a list of things that are active in the game. So as far as we know, Jem has part of a clue for an idol and no vote. She won't get the other part until her tribe loses. And then same thing with Randon, but he's gone now. And so we'll have to see if that gets like rehidden or something. Tiffany has a full idol. And then Ben and Banu have both lost their votes.
And Tevin and Maria have extra votes.
Oh, right. Forgot about that. The preview for next week showed in Siga, they're like digging under a tree and find something.
Which I think might be, so we didn't talk about this, but when Jem found the Beware Advantage, she is said to like dig right under where this is,
right.
Mm-hmm. And she went in the middle of the night to go do that, which I was impressed by her ability to do that. But then she was like, oh shit, this is not anything yet, I have to lose the challenge. But I think because it was the middle of the night, she like couldn't hide it very well there, so she went and hid it somewhere else. And I think that this is Siga finding the box.
That could be, that would be fun,
which also would make sense of why they pushed Jem finding that Beware Advantage to this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So that is like fresher in our minds,
yeah,
for that next episode.
There's a clip of Banu revealing stuff he said to his tribe and potentially some drama in Nami. So a little bit from every tribe. Fantasy wise, we need to pick an MVP.
Oh yeah, we do. Oh geez, who the hell is an MVP this episode? Oh, I got it.
Oh, I know who you.
I could see an argument for two people here, I think.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. Hunter. Yeah. Was your other person you were thinking Jem?
Oh, no. Ben.
Yeah, I thought about that, but he didn't do the challenge. Like, he failed at getting his advantage, so.
Yeah, because he lost his vote, I didn't pick him.
Yeah.
But I thought that he handled that whole situation well, and he got a lot of info from Banu.
He really shredded
and,
it.
Made some connections on the other tribes. Like, I thought all of that was great.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought his lie was good, but he lost his vote, so.
Yeah.
I chose Hunter, who made a bed.
Won a challenge.
Took his tribe from last to first. Yeah.
Yep. So Patrick is in the lead currently, fantasy wise. You didn't click the. Oh yeah, you did. Okay. Yep. He's got 224 to my 173, so he's beating me by like 50 points.
And I have all of my people still.
I know. I've lost two. This is bad. I like
this was. I have Kenzie and Banu on my tribe or on my team, and I was like, shit. Either way this goes, I'm losing someone. And then Randon's nerve comes into play.
I feel like
really helped me out.
I actually like really tried this season picking my team, and this is what happened.
Hey, we're two episodes in. I mean, three episodes in, but we didn't count the first episode. So two episodes in.
Yeah, it's not good.
We have plenty of time.
The season-long predictions. The only change is just that we have another person added to like the idols in the game total, kind of, which was Jem. Randon's though that he had like part of, he's gone now, so that'll almost like restart, and depending on how that goes.
I wonder if they'll just hide it as a normal idol now rather than doing hope aware advantage
thing just again. Like time wise maybe.
Yeah.
Non-idol advantages, we had potential to see a couple with the what do I call that
journey,
but Ben and Banu were both unsuccessful in that, so we don't get anything from that.
Maybe we need to start predicting how many medivacs and quits there's going to be.
Yeah.
Because, like, right? It's been, like, two every season.
Yeah. Then episode predictions. Our final threes did not change for either of us because neither of us had Randon on our team. So I still have Maria, Tevin, and Venus in my final three. And Patrick has Soda, Tevin, and Jem. We predicted the next title would be said by Kenzie or Banu, which we were circling the right person, but it was Q. And then the next boot, I predicted Liz and Patrick predicted Venus, and we were wrong on that. We had the right tribe, actually.
Yeah, that's true.
Not for the right reasons.
I mean, they didn't lose the challenge, yeah, though. But
yeah. Yeah. So the next episode title, I found some fishy information here. So next week is called Don't Touch the Oven. The week after is called Tiki Man. The week after on IMDb is called Those Who Wander Are Not Lost. On Wikipedia is called Cancel Christmas. So episode 6 has two different titles going on. I think Wikipedia had it called Those Who Wander Are Not Lost last week, and then between last week and this week changed it to being called Cancel Christmas. So who knows what's going on there? But we're trying to predict who's going to say Don't Touch the Oven.
Tevin. Feels like a... I feel like I can hear that in like his southern twang a little bit of like kind of like a southern turn of phrase.
I think it's gonna be, I would say Q, except he named this one, so I'm gonna say Tiffany. I think it's gonna be referring to Banu being like managing a child,
like oh yeah, uh-huh, like don't make the block hot
kind of, except it's like, yeah, she's gonna like in a confessional be like, he's like a child, I have to tell him not to touch the oven sort of situation.
Yeah.
And then our next boot. Are the wackadoodles going to win?
I hope so.
I don't. I just want Banu to leave. But if they don't, is Banu going to leave or is Kenzie going to leave? All right. I'm just going to go with it and say Banu because whatever. Because maybe it's going to be they lose and Tiffany's going to say, like, that's going to be what convinces her to not flip on Kenzie, is just be like, I can't manage this child.
That's fair. I'm gonna say Venus.
Back-to-back weeks.
I said last week, just I think that if Nami, particularly with Randon gone, I think that if Nami loses, Venus might be out.
Yeah,
And I just don't think that it's gonna be Yanu every single time. And we're seeing like nothing from Siga consistently. And so I kind of think Siga might like make it to merge without going to tribal type of thing.
Yeah. What do you think? I saw somebody float this idea. So like, was it last season the rule changed for sitting out in challenges that it's not per cycle, it's per, what is the new rule?
It is like actually back to back.
Yeah, actually back to back. Of somebody floated the idea of a tribe shouldn't be able to sit out the same person until everybody sat out.
I like that rule change a lot.
I was really into it when I first read it, and then somebody commented of like this would lead even more to eliminating like smaller, weaker people than is already existing, which is a fair point against it.
Oh yeah,
but that I feel like is less. I mean, it's the players eliminating those people, but that's more on the show and the types of challenges they make. Like if that's happening so much, the show needs to change the types of challenges.
Yeah, like
that's on producers it is more like than always players.
An obstacle course of some sort with a mm-hmm. puzzle or a like carnival game. And we used to play like Battleship essentially, or like, I want to see like,
you can do obstacle courses without strength, like balance beams rather than a 500 pound gecko.
Sure. But the 500 pound gecko though, I'm very into, but I want more like, sports style games or like I don't know, I keep thinking of the one from Cook Islands where they were like in boats with glass bottoms and they were like dropping mines
mm-hmm.
basically. I want more team based activities.
Yeah.
Or I saw something recently that was like, if you're gonna do an obstacle course like this, rather than like everyone has to do the whole thing, make it a relay where like there are six steps and everyone does one step.
Yeah. Rather than like everybody having to do every step.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then choose two people to do the puzzle at the end or something. Like one person does one thing each time. And then you could be like, hey, I don't think that I can climb that wall, but I can definitely do the balance beam. Or like I can, you know, I'll do the slide puzzle. Sure. Or whatever.
I almost would have them just be like, let everybody go in on the puzzle, because that would actually fuck people up, because it's like too many cooks situation, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right. Do you have a luxury item this week?
I do. I have been playing this game that I heard through Escape This Podcast, which is a previous luxury item of mine, called Escape Academy. It's a video game that is like you're going to school to learn how to be an escapist, and it's like it is a campaign essentially of like a bunch of different escape rooms, virtual escape rooms, and it's been fun. It's good fun. Puzzles.
What's it on?
I've been playing on the Switch. I think that it is on most things, but I've been playing on the Switch.
What kind of puzzles are we talking about here?
It feels very escape roomy. So like,
okay.
How
much storyline do I have to cut scenes sort of stuff? Do I have to sit through in order to get from puzzle to puzzle?
Very little.
Okay. Oh, the complete edition for $30 on Switch includes Escape Academy Plus, the Escape from Anti-Escape Island DLC, and the Escape from the Past DLC for a total of over 20 handcrafted escape rooms.
I have not played any of the DLCs yet. But yeah, I've enjoyed it. If you're into escape room type stuff, give it a try. It is not the best like graphics and all that jazz. Like it is like, it feels a little bit janky, but the puzzles are good.
Okay. I might check that out. My luxury item, I'll say, man, I do pick food a lot. I'm going to say potatoes. Yesterday, me and my friends had a potato party, kind of in coordination with St. Patrick's Day, but it was not a St. Patrick's Day party. It was a potato party where everybody was supposed to bring a potato dish. And so, like, some people brought potato chips. Some people brought vodka. Some people brought potato salad, au gratin potatoes. One of my friends made like donuts with potato flour and mashed potatoes. And I made deviled eggs, except instead of the white of the egg, it was little potatoes that I baked. And then the yolky topping part was more of like a baked potato stuff. So instead of like mayonnaise, it was sour cream and yolks and chives and bacon. Those were pretty solid. So just potatoes, you know, you can do a lot with potatoes. They're pretty versatile. Nobody brought mashed potatoes, which is a travesty. But there's pretty good showing.
Yeah, potatoes are great. How do you feel about a sweet potato?
Not for them.
Oh, I love sweet potatoes. I would prefer a sweet potato over a regular potato any day of the week.
That's of all the takes we've had in almost 200 episodes of this podcast, that's the roughest one.
I stand by it. I literally can't think of an avenue that I would rather have a regular potato in other than vodka, I guess. But I'm down to try some sweet
potato. If I went to a restaurant and I ordered a burger and my side options were sweet potato fries or a salad as my side, I'd get a salad. That's how much I don't want those sweet potato fries.
Oh, I would pick sweet potato fries over regular. I do regularly pick sweet potato fries over regular fries.
I know a lot of people have those thoughts. I don't know. I'm not for them. They're
sweet potato waffle fries. Boy, howdy. So good.
I think it's the sweetness. Great. I don't want the sweetness,
but they're not that sweet. It's a little sweet.
Yeah,
man. I love me a good sweet potato.
All right, cool. Listeners, let us know your favorite potato dish.
Not sweet potatoes, listeners.
That's right. Those aren't potatoes.
Send that to me separately.
Yeah. Patrick wants DMs of that. Sweet potato
lover 42069 at gmail.com.
There's no way there's been 42069 sweet potato lovers. That's just crazy. You can email us at tribalcouncilpodcast@gmail.com. I should say this. I don't think it is that huge of a thing, but this currently is episode 192. We are almost at 200 episodes. So if you've got favorite things that you've heard in any of the 192 episodes we recorded so far, that we could highlight in episode 200, which will be happening like basically at the end of the season, very close to the end of the season. So hit us up. Give us some, let us know. Give us some love or hate, whatever. Give us anything. Like, what did we do that was awful in these first 192 episodes that we should improve in the next century of episodes? Email us, tribalcouncilpodcast@gmail.com.
I cannot believe this has been 200 episodes almost. But we'll get there.
Week of Tribal Council. This is Chris signing off.
This is Patrick.
And the tribe has spoken.
POTATO.
It's like that the meme. What do women love that starts with P and ends in S?
Potatoes and pinatas.
Penis.